then there's a chorus of ahs and yays, which is great. But let's start. We're going to have a foundational passage that we're going to continue to refer back to for the next couple of weeks. And it's really just five or four verses here. And let's get started. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Gosh, I went one too far. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace shall be with you." In looking at this passage, it's... Okay, who here has heard this passage more than five times? And everybody raises their hand, right? This is a passage of Scripture where it's really easy to look at verse 4 and say, oh, I'm supposed to rejoice. Or to look at verse 5 and say, oh, okay, fine, I'm going to forget verse 5. And then we look at verse 6 and we go, all right, I'm supposed to live in peace. And then we look at verse 7 and we talk about peace. And then we look at verse 8 and 9 and we look at instruction. And so we break these verses out and we don't really look at this passage as a single idea, which is how this passage is intended and really does speak to attitude. And I want to propose for the next few weeks that attitude is what makes all the difference. I mean, not naturally and not spiritually, but I mean universally, attitude is what makes all of the difference. So to inject just a little bit of humor and to show you a lesson on attitude, I have this old hee-haw video. Anybody remember hee-haw? I think I might be the youngest person that remembers hee-haw. I think it's right at the brink of my age. Now, let's see if this works like it's supposed to.
Ernie's coming in, so they come down and got a front seat. Good. I guess you heard about the terrible misfortune. Yeah, my great uncle died.
Oh, that's bad.
No, that's good.
How come?
Well, when he died, he left me $50,000.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's bad.
How come?
Well, when the Internal Revenue got through with it, all I had left was $25,000.
Oh, that's bad.
No, that's good.
How come?
Well, I bought me an airplane to learn to fly.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's bad.
How come?
Well, I was flying upside down the other day and I fell out of the darn thing.
Oh, that's bad.
No, that's good.
How come?
Well, I looked down under me and there's a great big old haystack.
That's good.
No, that's bad.
How come?
Well, I got a little closer. I saw a pitchfork aimed right at me.
Oh, that's bad.
No, that's good.
How come?
I missed a pitchfork.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's bad.
How come?
I missed a haystack too.
No,
that's good.
How come?
Well, I bounced around a few minutes and ambulance came, took me to the hospital.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's bad.
How come?
Well, I was in the hospital there for a while and I took a turn to the nurse.
That's bad.
No, that's good.
How come?
Well, my wife came in one day and caught me kissing his nurse.
Oh, that's bad.
No, that's good.
How come?
She said if that was the way I was going to act, I could have this pretty nurse. She's going to pack her coat and go back home to mama.
That's good.
You're darn right, that's good.
All right, so there's our comic relief for the day. We can figure out how to move on to the next thing here. There we go. There's enough hee-haw for one morning.
That's good.
No, that's bad. But as we look at that, and it was funny and all, you know, that's good. No, that's bad. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. Think about your life for a minute. Half the time, we don't know what we want. I mean, I know I talk to people every day. That's what I do. I talk to people. And You know, you try to get people's life story out of them, and they always talk about this terrible thing that happened to them that ended up bringing about a really positive change in their life.
Amen.
That's bad. No, that's good. Right? You're going through it, and oh my gosh, this is awful. But then it ends up being really good. So we don't half the time really know what we want. You know, and it's just human nature, but it's what we do. We go through life being dissatisfied. You know, we call it trying to keep up with the Joneses, and we call it trying to measure up to other people, or we fight our own feelings of inferiority or insecurity or whatever it is. But we go through our life always wishing we had something a little bit better. I'm here to tell you that if you had just had a better attitude in that situation, you would have been more satisfied and therefore had a better life.
Amen.
You know, I believe that more times than not, all of us, me included, that all of us don't have the kind of attitude that we'd be proud of having. A lot of times we don't have the kind of attitude that we wish that we had. And, you know, what I want to cover the next few weeks is how important it is that we have healthy and good and winning attitudes, for lack of a better term. I mean, you know, it's better for us, but it also magnifies Christ within us.
Amen.
I mean, this is not just about you and how you experience the world. This is about how the world experiences who you are.
Amen.
And how the world experiences Christ in you. I mean, if you're born again, let's think about it for a minute. If you're born again, and you're a sourpuss, what's that make people think about Christ? Well, I won't be around those people.
Amen.
I mean, your attitude affects more than you believe it does with you. But it affects more than just you. It affects your witness. It affects everything.
Amen.
So, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a moment of confession. And we're going to start with something easy. Move to something a little more difficult. And then move to something really difficult. And then through the day, hopefully, the next 20 minutes or so, that really difficult thing will get easier. All right? So let's start with the easy one. Everybody look at me and then say, you need an attitude adjustment.
You need an attitude adjustment.
Right? That's right. That was pretty easy. Now this is a little more difficult. It's a little more personal. Look at the person next to you and say, you need an attitude adjustment. Now we're going to move on to the one that's a little more difficult. Everybody look up. Because people like to look at the ceiling when they pray for some reason. Everybody look up and say, Lord, I need an attitude.
I need an attitude adjustment.
A little more difficult, wasn't it? I mean, all of a sudden, now it's pointed at me. It's a little tougher, but that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Attitude is so important, you can be dumb and no attitude's important. Right? Okay. Because let's think about it. In the natural world, people who know nothing of God, who know nothing of the truth of His Word, everybody understands that attitude plays an important part. I mean, we say things like, attitude is everything. We say things like, mind over matter. We say things like, think positive. I wrote these down. We say things like, see the goal, be the goal. We say things like, attitude is contagious, is yours worth catching? Right? These are all posters I've seen where I work. We say things like, your attitude determines your altitude. Nice and catchy. We have guys around here like Deacon Dale, who talks all the time about PMA. Right? Having a positive mental attitude. I'm not calling him dumb, but, you know, he explains that to dumb people and they get it. Right? You know, all of these little quirky things are just attempts to get us to think about how important it is to have a better attitude. And all in the same, we still struggle and we fight and we try real hard, and guess what most of us need is an attitude adjustment. So all of that isn't working. And I'm here to tell you why. You ready for this? Just buckle in. Philosophy, PMA, attitudes, all that sort of stuff can't change who you are on the inside. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You know, see, here's what happens. Here's where, let's get real for a minute, because here's where we really struggle, right? Just get in our circle of honesty and just be honest with ourselves for a minute. Here's why we struggle with positive mental attitude, and we all know it's important. Here's why we struggle having a positive attitude, a winning attitude, a godly attitude, when we all know it's important. Here's where we struggle. You ready for this? Because we're trying to do it with the natural mind. And what happens in the natural mind is we want to be validated. We want to feel important. Right? It's human nature. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that's human nature. And you got to learn to cope with your human nature, because you're not a natural person anymore. You're born again. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're a spirit being now. You need to learn to cope with your natural tendencies, which will always be there, that you have to learn to subdue so that you can walk in the Spirit. Because here's what happens. We want to validate why we feel the way we feel. We don't want to say, I shouldn't feel that way. We want to say, I feel that way, and here's why. Yep. Right? Yep. I'm not the only one who does that. Okay. Here's what we like to have. I came up with this. You ready? We like to have bad day duels. Right? Yes. Where you walk in and you go, you know, how's your day been? You're not going to believe what happened to me at work. And then the other person says, oh yeah, listen to what happened to me at work. Right? I mean, you name it. I mean, I don't know, it's almost a pastime of mine. I shouldn't find enjoyment in it, but it just strikes me as funny. My grandmother was great at this game. It's fun to watch two old women, not like any of you, much older than you.
Yeah.
It's a good save right there, buddy. They'll be sitting there casually talking about it, and one of them will say something about, I had a surgery on my elbow. And within a half hour, they're listing off all of their surgeries, trying to figure out who's more entitled to have a bad attitude about their health, and who's more entitled to feel sorry for themselves, and who's had a harder way to go, right? But we have bad day duels all the time. It's just natural. You know, what'd you do, wake up on the wrong side of the bed? No, listen to what happened to me. Right? All we're doing is justifying feeling and acting a way we know we shouldn't. Because you know what? If we should be cross, if we should have a bad attitude, we wouldn't try to justify it.
Right.
You in a bad mood yet? But that's not what we do.
Right.
You in a bad mood? Yeah, but listen what happened. Here's why. Why are you trying to justify it? You know you shouldn't be acting like that.
Right.
Where we all do it, right?
Yeah.
Right? So we try to fix it. I need to have a positive mental attitude, right? I need to control my thinking. I need to use mind over matter. We try to use all these natural things to fix our bad attitudes. Well, guess what? It's the right direction, but it's the wrong boat, because it's just not going to get you there. It's just not. So one more time, look at the ceiling. Right? Lord, I need an attitude adjustment. All right, because now we got to get away from God's philosophy or man's philosophy, and we have to turn on to God's philosophy. Because when we grow from God's guidance, when we look to God's way to do this, we can have a winning attitude that's not from the outside in, but it's from the inside out. Make a huge difference. So let's look at our passage again in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, honorable, right, pure, whatsoever is lovely and of good report, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. There are a few simple thoughts in this passage that I want to try to bring out to help you bear a better attitude continually. Because that's where so many of us struggle. I know this is my struggle. My struggle sometimes isn't having the right attitude. My struggle is keeping the right attitude. I find myself in and out, right? And I think if we focus on the right part of this passage, we can begin to look at it to be a more continual thing in our life. All right, so look at this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So here's a short passage, right? I mean, a handful of words. But there's a lot here. Firstly, we have to rejoice. I want to talk about that word, rejoice. That's not something we use in daily conversation anymore. So what, scripturally, what's it mean when it says rejoice? It says to be full of cheer. To be calmly happy. Cheerful. Think about it for a minute. Is that how someone who doesn't know you would describe you? Is that how you would describe yourself? Cheerful. Just calmly. I'm not talking about running around being a goof. Just calmly happy. Now, are you full of cheer? But look at what it says. It says, rejoice how? Rejoice in the Lord. Because where do we try to find our happiness? Where do we try to find, to use the Bible word, our rejoicing? We look to things, to circumstance, to people, to good fortune. Did I hit the scratch-off ticket this week? Right? We do that. But to find this rejoice in the Lord always, to find this continual, calm happiness, I got news for you. Your circumstances are going to change.
Right.
Some weeks you're going to hit that scratch off, and some weeks you ain't.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
If you're dependent on that for your happiness, guess what? Sometimes you got it, sometimes you ain't.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But it's not what this says. It says always. Because what is it in your life? Think about it. What is it in your life that doesn't change? It's God.
Amen.
Everything else in your life is in a constant state of change.
Amen.
I hope this never changes. It's gonna.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And if you're hoping for something else, guess what? You're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah.
What doesn't change is God.
Amen.
And if you want anything to be consistent, constant, unwavering, unmovable, unchangeable, it has to be centered on God. Because everything else in your life is gonna change. I had a meeting this week, unrelated to anything godly. I had a meeting this week, and we're talking about budgets. It's a business meeting. We're talking about budgets. And I heard a term that I had not heard in years. And I was like, because you try to research out a sermon, and I was like, man, that just hits it. Because in a business, how it works is you got a budget. Here's your plan for the year. At the end of the month, you look at what really happened. You know, we plan for this number in revenue, and we actually have this. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. But it's never what you think it's going to be. Right? So when you're going through your budget, what do? We projected income to be this number, and it was actually that number. And then they look at the department manager, and they say, well, what caused the difference? And then they go, well, we projected labor to be this, and labor was actually this. Well, what caused that difference? And it doesn't matter if it's a good difference. We made more money than we thought. You still have to explain the delta. Explain the difference. You know why? None of it's constant. I mean, make the best plan you can make, and guess what you're going to do? Be close. It's not how God works.
That's right. Amen.
You never have to explain the delta with God. You never have to explain the difference with God. What God says it will be is what it will be. You want anything in your life to be steady, it's got to be God.
That's right.
Because what makes your life simpler? Surprises? Right? How do we limit those? Turn to God, right? Now, so again, anything that leads to happiness isn't what this is talking about. Happiness comes and goes, that's fine. Because you can be happy you hit that scratch off.
Amen.
We're not talking about happiness. We're talking about constant cheerfulness. Where when you miss that scratch off, you go, we'll get her next time. See what I'm talking about? That comes from within, not from the circumstance, right? So, if we want to have constant joy, our foremost attitude has to be that we rejoice in the Lord, right? But here's where it is, man. Always. That's where the rubber meets the road. Because all of us, the best of us, and the worst of us, the most studied in the Word, the brand new believer, all of us can do this some of the time. That's not what takes growth, and that's not what brings you constant cheerfulness and constant fulfillment and an unchanging happiness in your life. It has to be always. I mean, especially for church folks, right? It's pretty easy to rejoice in the Lord when you're sitting here hearing the Word, and you're surrounded by believers, and nobody's honking their horn at you, and nobody's trying to run you off the road, and your boss sitting in your ear about something. It's pretty easy right now, right? But all the time, every time, and all of the things. Rejoice in the Lord always. How many of you guys sing along when we have the songs in the morning? No matter what your situation, no matter what you're facing, no matter how bad your day is going, no matter how bad your deal of cards are, rejoice in the Lord always. This is the premier, the foremost attitude that people should see in you, that they should see in me, that they should see in every believer. To the point that Paul emphasizes it again by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, rejoice. You know, you don't understand what I'm going through. Well, think about what Paul was going through. The man's in jail, sentenced to death. And he's saying constant rejoicing. You know, whether you have attacks in your life or personality conflicts on the job or, you know, I don't know what you're going through. And unless you choose to tell me, it is none of my business what you're going through either. But guess what? Rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. It does not matter. That's why it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when you're victorious.
Right.
That's why it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. It says rejoice in the Lord always. You know, knowing that we've all lived a life, you know, we're not exempt from pain and sorrows and disappointments and letdowns. In a verse I frequently go to, Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." God has a plan that gives you a future. God has a plan that gives you a hope.
Amen.
What do you got right now? Doesn't really matter that much. Well, that's easy for you to say. I'm not the one saying it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why? We have a future of hope.
That's right.
We're not rejoicing for today, we're rejoicing for tomorrow, because tomorrow is already written for us. You know, this should bring us inner peace in every circumstance. Right?
Yep.
Remember our verses? The peace that passes comprehension. It says it different in the King James. The peace that passes all understanding. Quite frankly, I like this better. Because really, think about it. We've all seen people like this. I mean, maybe it was you in a circumstance because you were spiritually in the right place at that moment. When the world's falling apart around him and you talk to somebody and they're just like, I would be good. And you just can't, man, if that was me, they're handling that so much better than I would. I don't know how they're doing it. But you can't even comprehend it. When people have that peace that doesn't come from within, they have that peace that comes from Christ, it just doesn't even seem real. You know, I had a circumstance in my life about a year ago now. Right, I found out I was losing my job. You know, closing my office. Nobody done anything wrong, it's just happening. You know, I mean, and I remember when my boss came in, they do it unannounced. My boss came in and he was like, hey, we need to talk. I go, what's up? And he's like, tomorrow we're going to announce to your staff that we're closing your office. And for some reason, I was spiritually in the right place. Praise God. And I looked at him and I was like, all right, we'll be good. And he looked at me and went, what? And I said, yeah, we'll be all right. Whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. We'll be good. And then, because God is the way God is, in August, I was sitting in my office at my new office. Same guy walks in and he goes, hey, we're going to close this office too now. And I was like, okay, we'll be good. And he's like, man, you did that last time. Guess who still got a job?
That's right.
And I'm not saying I still have a job because I said, hey, it's all right, we'll be good. I'm saying I was able to say, hey man, all right, we'll be good, because I knew I would still have a job.
That's right.
Because I know that God has a plan for me that has a future and a hope.
Amen.
Because you know what? Here's the thing, guys, and I know I say this all the time, and I said this Wednesday. No, I didn't say it Wednesday. I was talking to somebody last night and I said this. The difference that this attitude of hope makes. My boss came in and told me I'd probably lose my job. Right? Your boss comes in and tells you you're losing your job. And I say, all right, man, we'll be good. Whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. And you go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I got bills to pay, I got family support. Who's having a better day? I'm having a better day.
Right.
Who just got told they're losing their job? We both did. What's the difference? One square foot of real estate determines the world you're living in. It's right here. You have complete control over that. Now, out of time to cover all of this today, and so we're going to pick this up again next week. We've not covered a whole lot of verses. I want to give you one last verse to kind of cook on until next Sunday. So I'm going to give you something a little bit practical to take with you. In Proverbs 23:7. Everybody's least favorite verse. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. And the King James, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think determines who you are. Well, wait a minute. The house I grew up in and my family, and you know what? Those don't determine who you are. Those things may make it harder for you to change the way you think. But the way you think determines who you are.
Amen.
I'm not saying those things aren't obstacles that you have to deal with. We don't live in a world of denial around here. What happened, happened. But they don't make you who you are. They may make it harder for you to change your thinking. But your thinking makes you who you are.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to close with just a statement right here. Two statements right here. First, the way you think determines who you are. Now, because we live in a real world, are you ready for this next one? Not the way you say you think.
Right.
It's not the way you say you think that determines who you are. It's how you actually think that determines who you are.
Amen.
Because if you're in your deepest, most internal, full of doubt and fear and insecurities, guess what? That's what you got to address. You don't address the way you talk, you address the way you think. How many here talk to yourself? I mean out loud, I'm not getting into crazy tests. You can talk out loud if you want, but how many of you have that internal monologue where you tell yourself, right?
Yeah.
We all do, right?
Maybe.
I used to be bad about this. I had a big problem with this. I still talk to myself all the time. That's not what I mean. You talk to yourself all you want. It's your internal voice. Use it all you want. But you ready for this one? I used to be really bad about this. How I'd do something that was dumb or made a silly mistake or just wasn't paying attention and did something I shouldn't have done. Man, I just wear myself out. You dumb so-and-so, I don't know what the heck's wrong with you, blah, blah, blah. Right? Let me give you a test right now. Would you let somebody else talk to you the way you talk to yourself?
No.
Right? Would you let somebody else talk to you the way you talk to yourself? You ever want to have some fun with this? Go to the mall. Right? And position yourself outside as you sit outside in the walkway in the mall, you know, the old school mall, not the new mall where it's outside, but the old mall. You go to the old mall and you find a chair, a bench, you know, you sit down. Right? Sit outside some women's clothing store. And position yourself where you can see the mirror where the ladies, when they put on that new outfit and they come out to look in the mirror, right? Position yourself there so you can just watch those facial expressions. Because you know there's some, I am sure, wonderful woman who's just a great, because, you know, women have a real issue with this. I mean, it's the world they live in. It's the way they've been shaped. It's changed the way they think. It's a shame, but it's just what it is. You can watch their face. You practically read their thoughts. Put this dress on, you know, and feels good. I really liked it on the rack. And they walk out and they look in the mirror. And if there was a billboard over their head that showed their thoughts, you know, you fat cow, right? How have you let yourself get like this, right? Why are you too lazy to go to the gym? Why can't you push away the French fries? Whatever it is in there, right? Would you let somebody else talk that way? Heck no, you wouldn't. You'd hit them upside the head with your purse or something, right? But we talk to ourselves that way all the time. And we run around and we wonder, why do I have so many insecurities? Listen to how you talk to yourself.
Sure.
You know, what God is trying to do from the inside out, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What God is trying to do inside you through Christ from the inside out, we beat ourselves up so badly that we find ourselves fighting against God's progress in our life. God's trying to make us a complete man. God is trying to make us the image of Christ in this world. God is trying to bring us to His plans for our lives while we deride ourselves for any mistake we make. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, rejoice. Be cheerful. God has built for you a tomorrow of hope. Today is just the road to get to tomorrow. Stand with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you today for your word. I thank you that you brought us together here to hear your word. I thank you, Father, that you've given us a message to hear that isn't just information, but a message to hear that when we apply it, will change our lives. That when we apply it, will change the way not only that we experience this world, but will change the way that the world experiences us, and will change the way that the world experiences Christ within us, and will open up the world to our testimony, will open up the world to the great things that you have done in us and through us. So, Father, I thank you once again for this day, for your word, for just letting us hear it. And, Father, I would ask as we go forth from here that you would let us begin to apply these things, that you would let us truly focus on the great things that you have done and are doing within us, that we might walk in a spirit of rejoicing, of happiness, of fulfillment, Father, just to open the locked door to the greater tomorrow that you have already built for us, that tomorrow of hope and that tomorrow of well-being. And I thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Everybody, we'll see you next Sunday. We'll pick up right where we left off.